Hi friends, this is Shadima, the Type A Hippie, and I am coming to you with a little talk or podcast on safe spaces. So I did a meditation earlier this week on creating a safe space and being able to retreat to that space anytime that you wish. And I just recently read an article by Mitch Albom about safe spaces. So you can look up. It was written in August of this year, 2016. And it was specifically talking about creating safe spaces in colleges across the country. And you can read it to see a little bit more. But his point is that essentially some kids are feeling entitled, and that entitlement comes from parents. So I'll just read a paragraph. Of course, much of this entitlement comes, as all things with children do, from the parents. So when you drop your kids at the dorms, perhaps remind them that being safe doesn't mean hear nothing upsetting, see nothing upsetting, say anything you want, and expect to be protected because those are your feelings. And then he says there's a phrase for this as well. It's called growing up. And so while some of what he says may have some merit, some of it doesn't, because it's not applicable. And so there are facts and there are dreams, if you will. There's reality and there's delusion. And so as I was doing the guided meditation, I talked about being able to retreat to a safe space or a peaceful place for you, especially if you've been triggered, or especially if life is happening, as it always is, and you just need to be still and do what you need to do. And so the recommendation is to breathe and pause, connect with guiding power, divine, spirit, creator of the universe, higher power, God, power greater than oneself, whatever you decide to call that entity works for you. Whatever you decide works for you, please, by all means, do that. And then from there, the hope is that you have some clarity in terms of next steps. And so creating a safe space. So retreating, right, in meditation and doing what you need to do to kind of explore. For me, I really feel connected to source when I look up at the sky and I see the sun shining, or when I take a photograph and I can see little orbs and the sunlight peeking through, shining down. That is where I feel really connected. And it's almost as if, like, okay, it's going to be okay. It's like the light is shining down on me. It's like, whatever is going on in this moment, it is going to be okay. Because the sun is still out. The sun has come up, as it's done for all of the years of my life, every morning, and it's gone down every evening. Times change, obviously, depending on where you are and what time of year it is. And yet, the fact still remains that the sun continues to rise and then the sun continues to set. So that's a great start, right? Meditation and creating a space that's safe, a peaceful place for you, is a great start. And I cannot physically be meditating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And so, yes, I am all about, I talked during the last podcast about how to kind of navigate difficult conversations. And so difficult conversations will come up. This is not something that will be done once or twice and then that's over. Oh no, that's not how life is. They will continue to rise and come to pass. Now how we deal with them, that's, you know, something that we talked about last time. But how to take care of self. So this goes into self-care. So I talk about my loving life coach all the time because I don't know where I would be if I didn't have her in my life, which is the truth. And so she's talked to me often about self-care because, I mean, my company is called the Type A Hippie, for God's sake. So I am very Type A in certain respects and then very, very not. Very hippie in other respects. And so the things that seem like they would be normally Type A, those aren't the traits that I've adopted or are part of my character, if you will, or part of my personality or my inner being or soul, whatever you want to call it. And then there are some others that are definitely Type A. And so I remember when I worked in PR. And so my desk, like I had my own office and my desk was not always tidy. And so my boss would come in and say, Chidima, when your desk looks like this, I get nervous. And I was like, why? And she said, because it seems like you don't know what's going on. And it seems like you haven't really been connecting with editors in New York and it seems, or in LA. And it seems like, or even locally in Vegas, it seems like you're not aware of what's happening. And like, are you missing deadlines or are you meeting those deadlines? And are you getting the right connections? And are you getting our clients press? Because that's my job. My job was really simple. It's like, get me press. I want press. And it's like a drug. Like once you get a hit, which is, and that even sounds bad, but once you get a taste of seeing your clients products and magazine pages, you want more and the client wants more and they're paying you for more. I remember one, I got a really good one. One December, about five or six of our clients were on CBS News, a roundup of holiday gift items. So it was in their holiday gift guide. So six of our clients, their products were in this lineup and it was like huge. So it was the fourth hour, I think, of like the CBS morning programming. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is awesome. So I got mad, like love for that one. And then just as quickly as I felt high from it, it crashed because then what's the next thing, right? And so because my desk would oftentimes be messy and didn't look like it was organized, it caused my boss to fret and be concerned that I wasn't getting my job done. And so I tell you that because now I lost my train of thought. This is life, real life. We're talking about safe spaces and we're talking about creating those peaceful places. And so, you know, part of life is that things are going to be uncomfortable. And that's okay. Because that's, I found that I grow the most when my life is a little uncomfortable. Because when I'm comfortable, I'm not being forced to expand or grow or stretch in any way. It's like yoga. When I'm taking a yin class, I love yin. I love teaching yin and I love taking yin, even though it's more of a challenge for me. Because the poses are held 3 to 5 minutes, you get deep into your yin tissues, which are your joints, ligaments, and tendons. And you're holding the pose so much longer than in, say, a vinyasa flow or even a slow flow in order to get deep into those yin tissues. And so the discomfort It's about being comfortable in the uncomfortable. And that's how life is sometimes, being comfortable in the uncomfortable. And at the same time, I need to be safe so that I am able to even get uncomfortable so that I'm able to grow from the experience. So I would not attempt to practice yoga on active railroad tracks. It doesn't make any sense. Why? I wouldn't even be concentrating on the yoga because I would be listening to hear the train coming my way and getting off the tracks so that the train doesn't hurt me, maim me, or kill me. So you kind of have to ensure that where you are makes sense and you are safe to be uncomfortable, to be okay in the discomfort, or comfortable in the uncomfortable. So if I'm practicing in a meadow and I'm in a pose that's a little bit uncomfortable, I'm at least safe doing it. So that brings me to conversations. If we are creating safe spaces so that conversations that may or may not be difficult are able to be had in these places, these safe spaces, if you will, then there is potential for growth and change. So I don't agree with Mitch Albom when he says that reminding them that being safe doesn't mean hearing nothing upsetting, seeing nothing upsetting, saying anything you want. So yes, like, I don't think it's responsible to say anything I want. I don't think it's provocative to do so. Oh, she just says whatever she wants. Like, okay. How does that add value to life and pack into the, what does that pack into the stream of life? That said, I'm not going to, nor would I suggest that people deliberately put themselves in situations that are harmful. That doesn't make sense either. I mean, why would I do that? Now, if I'm putting myself in a situation so that I can grow. I remember when I worked at the actual doctor's office, right? So I work for a company. I still work for this company. I actually work in support now for them. But I worked for this company before for over 4 years, took a 2-month hiatus to go back to school, and then came back. I was our first bounce back employee, and I came back working part-time in on the support team for our headquarters. And we call it the Nest. So I started working for the Nest in June, but prior to that, I had worked, like I said, as a clinical health coach in a primary care office. And so we have primary care offices across the country. And as I mentioned before, I helped open our first one in Las Vegas, and now we have 34 in multiple markets. So when I worked there in that role, I remember, you know, I've talked about how I've learned how to communicate more effectively because of what I do, having done it wrong. So this idea, this notion of not hearing anything upsetting, not saying, you know, seeing anything upsetting or saying anything that you want, and protecting your feelings, it's just not realistic. And so when I worked as a health coach, we had not only benchmarking, but we had annual reviews. So all full-time salaried employee did a review. And there were different times based on your role. And so I remember wanting to get concrete feedback. And so I specifically sought out two or three colleagues, three other health coaches that I knew that I could trust and that they weren't going to sugarcoat the flaws in my makeup that had not necessarily caused my failure, but had caused problems for me. Unfortunately for me, I didn't realize that that's not really how it worked. People would randomly be assigned one another, and then we would do a review based on our assigned colleague. So I kind of got it wrong, but it speaks to who I am and who I desire to be. So I'm willing to hear constructive feedback about myself, and I don't insulate myself so that I'm only around people that are going to co-sign any of my stuff, right? And that goes to feeling safe enough to request that information. So I have two dear girlfriends for the last, I would say, 3 weeks. We're on a group text. And so we text a lot. And we send each other articles to read. And we send one another, you know, we'll send meditations or podcasts, or, you know, and we'll talk about, or we'll suggest additional reading, because we are all in this period of kind of deconstructing some of what we've known to be true and reconstruction, you know, taking the pieces apart and then rebuilding with some of the old stuff, but a lot of the new stuff, or a lot more new stuff. And it's been really cleansing. It's been really healing, therapeutic, and safe. So we have said difficult things to one another and or needed to apologize for something. But the foundation is love and harmony, and we're invested in that. And so that, my friends, is why it is a safe space. Because what is your foundation? What is your foundation? My loving life coach talks about her foundation is love, patience, and tolerance. So as we talk, that's the foundation from which she's coming. And she'll tell me flat out sometimes, you can take it or leave it, honey. I'm not here to run your life. I'm only here to be helpful. And I do life coaching, so I help other people as well. And I say some of the same things. Do it or don't. Your choice. I would rather be the very best that I can be, bearing in mind that it's always about progress and never about perfection. Because perfectionism is part of my problem. I'll never be perfect. Ever. But I better damn well be progressing. And so I take a look at it myself and I say, what is my foundation? What do I pack into the stream of life in terms of providing a safe space for other people? And it's not a space without human sandpaper. I'm human sandpaper to some people. Some people just do not like me. That's okay. As long as I haven't given them a real good reason for it, like I haven't done anything to them. If you don't like me, if I'm not your cup of tea, okay. Next. Not to be rude, but keep it moving. It's okay. Everyone's not going to like me. Everyone's not going to like you. It's okay. But I will be respectful of you. Even if you're not my favorite. You have my word. I'll be respectful of you. And if you're being disrespectful to me, I'm not going to sit back and take it. Mm-mm. That can't happen. I've already been there before. Doesn't work. So I might have to check you and send you on your way. And I'm okay with that too. How I do it, we've talked about this. You know, the words that I use. So as there's a shift happening. More people are reaching out and connecting. They're organizing. They're loving. Some people are wearing safety pins. Some people are not. Some people are writing more on their blogs. People are listening to podcasts, reading books, reading news articles. Writing, creating, loving, weeping, praying, meditating, running, practicing yoga, embracing, holding hands, raising fists, kneeling down, crying out. As we're doing all of this, coming together, linking arms, what is our foundation? Is your presence one where people from all different places in life feel comfortable in your presence? Something to take a look at. Now, people that hate other people for no good reason, I'm not sure that I really want them to feel comfortable in my presence, because I am not interested in having that kind of energy in my space. I'm just not, and I won't have it. If someone's willing to change or take a look at their stuff or have an actual legitimate respectful conversation about it, that would be a different scenario. I guess we'd have to play that one by ear. But overwhelmingly, people that is not their sway, I would like them to feel comfortable in my presence. Is that you? Do people feel comfortable in your presence? Even comfortable to disagree with you in a respectful and loving manner? Because friends, this is how we get to do this thing called life, in these troubling times. Wherever you fall on anything, on everything, I think we can all agree that we've had some challenges. And we will continue to have challenges, and we will continue to repeat history if we don't recognize what's happening. Because this is not new. Maybe people are more aware, more alert, more awake. But this isn't new. So what did we do? We're here now. What do we do? How do we create space so that there is space for being upset? There is space to disagree. There is space to deconstruct. There is space to recreate relearn, reframe, rebuild. And it all takes time, right? Nothing happens overnight. I remember when I started working with a trainer in 2003 and I was nearly 30% body fat. And I remember doing the first half an hour of cardio on an elliptical machine and I was dying, friends. Dying. And I was just like, how did I let myself go? How did I let myself get to this point? And I was hoping that that 30 minutes of cardio would multiply magically into hours of cardio so that I would not have to stay in that uncomfortable state longer than I had to. Even though it took me some time to get there, unhealthy habit after unhealthy habit for years, it took me to get there. And so it was unreasonable for me to think that it would take me 30 minutes to get out of it. But I really did wish and pray and hope that it would not take long to get me out of it. So, we're here now. How do you want to be a part of the solution? What are you willing to do? Because we're really all in this together. I am grateful for two of my closest girlfriends. They're like sisters. I can send them an article like I did yesterday and I say this, I read this and it turned my stomach. And they can read it and say the same thing. And we have different color skin. We've had slightly different life experiences. We have a lot more similarities for sure. And yet we have some major differences. Our life philosophy, though, is the same. Love, acceptance, respect, honor, peace, shalom, faith. And not just boasting about a faith, it's living one. And being wrong often. And being aware of that. So it's safe. Safe for me to shout. Safe for me to be pissed. Safe for me to be sad. Safe for me to grieve. Safe for me to process. And not just me, the rest of them, too. Both of them. All three of us. And I have that with multiple women. And some men. And it's a beautiful thing. I'm incredibly grateful.